ideas written grateful that this competition seminar has come to be organized. And that so many eminent educationists, thinkers and scholars have assembled here to give us a benefit of their advice and are looking into the purpose of the seminar. As you know, the Indian Council of Philosophical Research has undertaken a major program of development in our country. The theme of philosophy of value oriented education. We have had a major conference on this subject 2 years ago, and we have published a woman containing the proceedings of that conference. Thereafter, we had seminars relating to art, politics, nationalism, and other similar subjects. These seminars were focused on what we call the reference in favor of materials that can be relevant to apply philosophy of value-oriented education. And in this domain, we have been feeling that nothing can stimulate value-oriented education as a study of inspiring biographies, autobiographies, and accounts of great events which drew us in Christ into the greatness of the characters who shaped those events. In this connection, we are making an effort to study the situation that obtains in our country in regarding the literature that is available in connection with biographies, autobiographies, and great events for the younger generation in the country. In this search, some information has been collected. And just now, some study has given you some lists. But it is just a fringe. As we talk of organizing this national constitution seminar, so that the participants who have wide knowledge and experience in the field can give us information and also advice as to how and with whose help we can promote the task of writing monographs on themes relating to those great men and women who have shaped our country and enriched India's great heritage. This seminar is not merely to collect or exchange information, but also to contemplate on certain concepts in regard to which we need greater clarity. Why, for instance, have we spoken of immigration? And the real question is, what is immigration? The reason as to why we have spoken of unions here in our seminar is that nothing is as profound as knowledge. This is the famous sentence of Robert Gita. And nothing inspires purity as accounts of those who have received knowledge and entered the sphere of knowledge. Illumination is, you might say, one of those uplifting forces that can liberate us from the slavery in godless, passions, and hunger of emotions which keep us tied down to narrow and invidious interests. Along with illumination, parts of the other forces. He's got a name, often the purpose. He has operating forces and examples of liberalism and harmony. We want to hear of liberalism, inspire the development of the qualities of courage, fearlessness, and self-sacrifice. Similarly, there is nothing as satisfying as the experience of harmony in the collective life. And there are a number of leaders in our country who have given examples through their own lives to show how they have cultivated greater and greater accumulation of harmony in their own neighbor, and how they have delivered selflessly to great harmony in the society. As you know, there are biographies and biographies. There are autobiographies and autobiographies. And there are various accounts of events and anecdotes of men and women who have played a major role in creating or shaping important events. If, however, we are to do a mix of this to students and teachers, we have to develop in the country a trusting place of disposition so that the kind of strengths or leaders involved to them make a certain high quality and certain community of inspiration. This is not merely a question of quality and style, but also of the height and greatness of the substance of the things that are present. It is therefore necessary that there should be forums where discussions are held on these aspects of literature. And it is in this context that I should like to devote this inaugural address and reflect on three terms which I have just mentioned, namely illumination, heroism, and harmony. These dimensions are only elementary, and I would like to ask the girls and educationists to look forward to provide maximum reflections so that they can speak on the series of different purposes to our students and teachers more meaningfully, and thereby enable them to discriminate the literature presented to them, which constitutes the quintessential ingredients of these three uplifting forces. The first question is, as to what you mean by illumination. I believe that all of us have had varying degrees of experience in which we have felt some kind of inner joy that burst upon us on account of clarity that grows upon us. As an indispensable element in which the object of inquiry shines out in our consciousness as understood or even comprehended. But clarities are of varying degrees and of various kinds. At higher levels of clarities, we feel that something essential is understood, or else the significance of substance and life movements are seen, understood, and comprehended. There are still other clarities in which you feel that our inner eyes have been opened, and the resultant experience is not only of seizing, understanding, or comprehending, but even of holding and possessing in our own being the meaning and value and even the widening scope of the subject in question.
at still deeper levels, we feel the opening of wide horizons, or feel as though we have climbed high altitudes, or else touched and experienced the depths and depths of meaning and value. In one of the bold images of the Veda, we have the description of Vishnu as the eye that is spread over the whole sky. In all these higher experiences of clarity, we have experience of some kind of ignition of inner light. You might say that illumination is basically the experience of ignition of inner light, in which meaning and value of substance and life movements are seen, understood, comprehended, held, and possessed. And this illumination imparts to us a great sense of repose, intense peace of harmony of being. And often this illumination goes farther and it stimulates and inspires guided action and application. At still higher levels, illumination bursts forth in creativity of higher and higher orders, which culminates in joy, delight, and even ecstasy. Illumination is a great door that opens out upon wisdom. For wisdom is the right fruit of the splendor and glory of synthesis and harmony. And this ripeness imparts to our consciousness a state of intense inwardness, penetrating insights into subjects, objects, situations, and events. We may even say that wisdom too has varying degrees of globality and transcendences, which from their higher heights can look upon the movements of life with a certain mastery and capacity to deal with needed restraints and optimum expenditure of energy. Wisdom is also the capacity to discover the meanings of hints and clues, even in unsuspected corners. And it can strike plummets into those depths from where new knowledge can spring forth. Wisdom thus reveals unsuspected secrets, and wisdom becomes a source in our personality for the development of unimagined skills of art and craft and creativity and effectivity. India has had the fortune of having produced a number of illumined seers, some of them of the highest order. We are with us great names of Vasishtha and Vishwamitra, of Vamadeva and Atri. We also know some of the names that shine out of the Upanishads, Yajnavalkya and Janaka, Sanat Kumar and Narada. And we have also the great names of Valmiki and Vyasa. And even in modern times, we have Sri Ramakrishna and Sri Aurobindo. And they all provide to us some glimpses into the operations of intuition, revelation, inspiration, and illumination. How wonderful it would be if some of the accomplished authors of India were to undertake a task of producing a monograph on these illumined spheres, written in chaste and chiseled language, and written with insight and intimate sympathy, so that our students and teachers come to learn some authentic account of these great illumined seers. It is true that we do not have any biographical or historically accurate information regarding many of these deists. But still we do have authentic texts of their writings, of their compositions, of their poems, which can provide some kind of inner understanding of the profundity and vastness of their vision and of their creative abilities. They constitute a precious heritage of our country, and we should enable our students to come into intimate contact with this heritage through the understanding of great heights of illumination these years had reached. Coming to the subject of heroism, you may ask as to what exactly are the ingredients of this great force that have been generally exemplified throughout the long period of 5,000 years of Indian history. We normally attribute the concept of heroism with the qualities that come into play in the battlefield. We do not normally take into account the courage and heroism of thinkers who are able to think boldly and with a spirit of innovation. We do not think normally of heroism that is involved in great adventures, adventures of discovery and invention, adventures of developing new forms of art, literature, or adventures that prepare new paths, which are greatly opposed by contemporaries, and they nonetheless lead people to the achievements which are at one time unimagined or undreamt. We may define heroism as the inspired force of self-giving and sacrifice in will that is applied to the quest, realization, and triumph of meaning and value against the resistance of limitations and obstacles by means of courage, battle, and adventure. Just as illumination is concerned with the cognitive faculty, even so, heroism is centrally connected with the faculty of volition. There is indeed a close connection between the faculty of cognition and faculty of volition, just as there is close connection of these faculties with the faculty of affection. The greater the illumination, the greater is heroism. The greater the heroism, the greater is the possibility of arriving at higher altitudes of illumination. And the greater heights of heroism and illumination prepare a more fertile soil for experience and expression of harmony. There are degrees and heights of heroism, which can be determined by the intensity, persistence, and vastness of sacrifice. Again, heroism attains higher states of greatness of refinement when it is guided by the highest wisdom and inspired by the sense of service to the ends of justice and harmony, and when the relative tasks are executed with consummate skills. India has been a land of heroes and heroines, of varying degrees, and even of the highest degrees and of the highest kind. When we speak of Rama as a hero, we do not think merely of a leader or a king who showed exemplary strength and skill and courage. But we worship him because he showed exemplary equanimity under all circumstances. Most of these were highly adverse. We also think of him as the one who combined virtues in such a harmonious order, where his entire character is imaged as a full-blown lotus, where every petal beautifully is blended with other petals, imparting inexpressible charm and beauty of the highest order. But this is only one of the examples of heroism in India, and we have hundreds and thousands. Unfortunately, our literature of heroic leaders is not as ample as it ought to have been. Take, for instance, the central hero of the Mahabharata, namely Arjuna. I am very happy Mrs. Sarita Saraf, at the very beginning, spoke of this particular example. My own reading is very limited, and I have no right to complain, but I must confess that I have not found a single monograph in our country exclusively devoted to Arjuna. And I'll be greatly happy if the learned authors assembled here could give me one or two examples of well-written and inspiring accounts devoted centrally to Arjuna. This is only a stray example that I have taken. But I should like to suggest that we should be able to make a list of heroic personalities that India has had and demand from the authors to give to our students and teachers well-written, well-chiseled, and inspiring accounts of these heroic personalities. Finally, we may come to the subject of harmony. This is a word which is very difficult to define. Harmony is particularly related to the aspect of ananda, which is ontologically related to sat and chit and their unity. Sat may be regarded as an appropriate object of the process of illumination, and chit or chit shakti can be regarded as an appropriate object of will force. That is essential ingredient of heroism. And harmony can be regarded as an appropriate object and appropriate expression of ananda. Harmony is basically a matter of creativity, and harmony is best expressed in poetry and in art and in literature, architecture, and various other plastic and performing arts. But harmony need not be limited only to artistic creativity, which is manifested in familiar domains. Harmony can also be that in the development of virtues, in the development of relationships, in the development of uniting various forces and expressions of matter, life, mind and spirit. Saints of India, many of whom have not been poets or composers, but their very personality vibrated with the beauty and charm and gentleness that can be engendered only by a deep integration and harmony of faculties and powers. Fundamentally, harmony is synthesis. Harmony is equilibrium. Harmony is perfection. It may be said that harmony is a progressive state and action of synthesis and equilibrium generated by creative forces of joy and beauty and delight that combines and unites knowledge and peace and stability with will and action and growth and development. Without harmony, we may venture to suggest, there is no perfection. Even though there could be maximization of one or more elements of our nature. Finally, it may be said that when illumination and heroism join and engender relationships of mutuality and unity, each is perfected by the other and the creativity is endless. Monographs on the theme of harmony are conspicuously small in number in our country. Again, I would like to be enlightened by the authors and scholars who are here, and I should like to learn of the books and monographs that are available in our country which illustrate the theme of harmony in its various aspects. In the end, Let me make a fervent appeal to the scholars and authors assembled here to be continuously related and associated with our Council of Philosophical Research, and provide to this Council information and instruction that can enable this Council to contribute significantly to the presentation of the very best writings, compositions, and monographs that illustrate illuminating seers, poets, and leaders of India, and the information regarding which will be transmitted for the use of students and teachers of the country. Thank you.